Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Isaac
and Joe.
Woo! Welcome back, Joe.
Yay! I'm so excited to talk about Bob's Burgers.
I know. For those of you tuning in for the first time, our guest Joe is from the Putting on Airs podcast.
Yes. We do a virtual book club. Come on over. We read all the books so you don't have to read them.
and how do they spell Putting on Airs?
Putting on Airs, E-Y-R-E-S.
I love the puns. Stop making fun of it.
I'm not making fun of it. I mean,
you can make fun of it. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, this is a podcast and people are listening. They can't see.
This is an audio medium. Yeah.
They can't see how it's spelled. They just need to know.
It'll be in the episode description.
Perfect.
We are back to talk about the Fox animated series Bob's Burgers, created by Lauren Bouchard with the Bento Box Animation. The show is currently streaming on Hulu if you want to catch all of the whole show. But obviously, if you're tuning in, hopefully you've watched all of it or most of it, because, honey?
Yeah, there will be spoilers. You've been warned. Yeah. I'm going to ruin all the jokes in this show.
Okay. So there's just so much that goes on in Bob's Burgers, and there's so many great characters and so many funny storylines that we can talk about. I wanted to leave the discussion super freeform for you guys. The only thing I mostly want to touch on is some favorite episodes, if you can remember them, because there's like over 200 by this point.
Okay, well, obviously, just like I said on the last, on our spoiler-free episode, I love episode one, specifically for that scene where it's like, Tina, count the toothpicks. No, don't put toothpicks. It just turns into putting toothpicks on the floor. No, look, she can count them. She's autistic. There's, I don't know, 100? There's 3. Oh, you can't even count. You're the worst kind of autistic. Oh man, I love that whole scene. It's amazing.
One of my favorite scenes from the pilot was when, also with Tina, when she tells Bob that her genitals itch.
Yeah, my crotch itches.
Are you telling me as my cook or my daughter?
Hands in. Wait, Tina, don't put your hand in.
Oh man.
Okay.
So I will say I like that sort of version of Bob, and I feel like they've brought him back in a few of the recent episodes where he's like, God, you guys are my family, but you're so awful. Like, you're very bad at this. And I like how there's sort of a group of misfits that are trying to run this restaurant, and Bob is playing the straight man, essentially trying to, you know, keep it all together. Still, I mean, there are other episodes, like I think it was in season 2 where Tina is like, Bob's like, hey, you can drive the car.
Oh, that was the first episode that I watched, and it hooked me. It was so funny.
Just turn right, so turn funny. Left, anything.
Turn any direction. That's not straight. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Tina groaning, and then you get like the aerial view of the car that's going 1 mile an hour. It's like barely moving. You're headed straight towards the only other car.
Yeah, it's like she's riding the brake and still.
Oh my God, I love Tina so much because she's socially awkward, but she's got her own level of confidence that comes through when she needs it to come through. But like, it's just those moments where she's like,
quintessential 13-year-old girl.
Even better, when she's all when she's crushing on
anybody.
Good God. Jimmy Jr.
Little boy crazy.
I was like, all you have to do is be a boy between the ages of like 13 and 16, and she's like, ooh, hello.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
I think one of my favorite Tina moments is the one where she gets addicted to espresso. They have that espresso.
I have that Funko Pop.
Oh my gosh.
Of her on the espresso pony.
Yes, it is hilarious. I don't know why it's so funny to me. And then Chandler knows this, but my favorite character is Louise. I absolutely love Louise. So any episode that like features her is one of my favorites.
Well, yeah, because she's like a, you know, 8-year-old mastermind, right?
She's hilarious. Yeah. Well, she doesn't really care.
She's over the top on everything. No,
it's the best. Yeah. It's so funny.
She's a maniac.
She is a maniac. And she is also like, she's self-aware and she knows like how to get away with stuff. And she's so funny. But the bank robbery one where Bob gets stuck in a bank and then Mickey comes in and holds up the bank. And so they set up their like negotiation, whatever, in Bob's Burgers. And Louise takes the phone from Sergeant Vasco and is trying to talk to Mickey, I think. But Sergeant Bosco's like, I need that phone back. And she just goes, my daddy's in there. He's in there. Every time somebody tries to take the phone away, she just loses her shit. She's like, no, you're not going to take this away from me. I'm 9.
My dad's in a bank
right now.
She definitely plays on. This. She knows what to say. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll leave you alone.
My daddy's in there. That gets me every time.
I love Louise so much, but I can't relate to her, but I love her personality and all of her shenanigans.
In fact, so just before we brought up Louise, I was going to say one of my other, I think, at least most memorable episodes for me is the one where Louise, or actually anytime Louise has to interact with the that boy band. Like where she was forced to go to the...
those are so fun.
Yeah, the boy band show. What's his name? Honey Boo Boo? No.
Boys for Now.
Boys for Now. The
band, Honey Boo Boo. Yeah.
No.
It's a... I think it's just Boo Boo.
Yeah, his name's Boo Boo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Honey Boo Boo is a real person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's that pageant child.
Ew, gross. Yeah,
we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
No. All right, yes. Just Boo Boo.
Yeah.
That one's so
I want to slap his face.
I just want to slap it. It's like, do you mean kiss? No. Slap. Louise is everything.
Yeah,
because
she's like, I boys are stupid. I don't like boys.
You're not like a boy, and she freaks out because she has a crush.
Yeah.
I love the Christmas episodes, and there's one Christmas episode. I don't remember which one, but at the very beginning, Louise hands Bob her wish list, although the presents that she wants for Christmas, and one thing on there was. Her own studio apartment.
Oh, yeah. I was like, are you going to say the one where she's asking for a studio apartment? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Studio apartment. And then one year she asks for a shark. And that's like the only thing on her list. Like, yeah. What do you want for Christmas this year? Like, what's on your list? And Louise is just like, a shark. And that's all she just cracks me up. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, wait.
Sounds good.
What are you going to do with the shark?
Shark. Okay. Oh my god.
Oh, and Coochie Copie.
Yeah, her little nightlight guy.
Uh-huh.
I love the instances where you see that Louise is 9, right? And that kind of shows through where it's like, she's a little kid.
Yeah, the episode where she's got the flu.
Yeah.
And she's got a fever and
she has that dream and Coochie Copie comes to life in her
really
dream.
Funny.
Yeah. That was a good one. I liked that one.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I like the one where they make her have her mom makes her have a slumber party, and then she one by one, like, quote unquote, offs all of the guests at her slumber party.
Yeah, are you sure you want to really be good. Here? No, I want to go home.
Yeah. Are you going to let me braid your hair? No. Okay. I also really like, so Isaac, last episode I talked about how I thought the first season tonally was a little bit different than subsequent, or not even the first season, but like the first episode or two. And I think the main reason I think that is because of the like Bob and Linda's relationship before, where they're like loving, but they also just kind of are, like nag each other. They like tolerate each other, that especially that first episode. And then in subsequent episodes, you see they really love each other and they have such a funny relationship. And it's also so realistic to me in that it's just like, oh, you drive me insane. And also like, I love you. I need to go use the bathroom. I don't know. It's just, I love their dynamic. And I think it's so different from especially a lot of adult animation relationships.
Yeah.
Right. Like I always think of like Peter and Lois, for instance, from Family Guy. It's like, okay, well, and then even Marge and Homer Simpson, they have their moments, but they're
right.
Mostly like Marge is like nagging him all the time.
Or yeah, Marge is essentially just putting up with his crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they seem like they're more of an actual team.
And yeah. Because they, yeah.
Yeah.
And they both have like weird things.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like Linda is always trying to be into musicals and stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
I think I might accidentally be Linda if I'm ever a mom. I think I'm just gonna end up being Linda. Sorry in advance.
And then, you know, Bob still gets into weird stuff too, like when he was into patty cake really heavily. Yes.
Or oh my god, you guys, the Thanksgiving episodes I think are all of my favorite. They're so funny for me. Because
every time the turkey's in the toilet. Reason.
Oh yes, I just thought of that one. I was like, "What was that one called?" It was with the turkey in the toilet.
He always wants to do something like really fun and fancy with the Thanksgiving. It always goes wrong, and then yeah, you do. Back to your point earlier of you feel bad for Bob because like he just wants a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he just wants to cook a nice turkey.
Nice.
Yeah, and it always ends up bad, you know, and that's. Okay, I guess if there was one criticism of the show, I would say that it over the years they've gotten pretty formulaic. Like every new episode is the next holiday. Like there's a Thanksgiving episode, like there's a Christmas episode, there's a Valentine's episode. Like they just go from holiday to holiday. Not that I mind that. A Halloween episode as well. I like the Halloween episodes probably the best.
Those are good. I always love the kids' costumes. They're so funny.
I mean, it's nice that they got to have 10 years of, like, kid Halloweens, whereas the rest of us got, like, two or three.
Yeah, gee whiz.
One of my favorite episodes involving Tina, and I remember this during the short break that we had, the one with the pony convention.
The realistic horse vagina.
It's Equestronauts.
Equestronauts,
right?
Yes, yes.
I think I watched that one recently.
That's their parody of My Little Pony. Yeah. And
that
so
one's hilarious.
She goes to the convention and some asshole brony tricks her into swapping ponies with her because she had. I forgot the
name.
She
brings her I forget to chariot or charity or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
Charity. Yeah.
No, yeah. Chariot. Chariot?
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
It's not supposed to make sense.
Yeah, but I think it's Charity because I think they're all like named after.
There's
like things you're supposed to do or have or whatever, right?
The pony figure, her pony toy that she got when she was little, she takes it to the convention. This brony asshole convinces her to swap toys.
Like a brand new one or something.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take your old one and I'll give you this brand new one because her old one had, you know, like I just said, a realistic horse vagina.
Yeah. Equesticles, not bronies. That's what it was. Like they had a pun for bronies.
Oh, that's
what
equesticles. Yeah.
That is too good.
Brony is the real life term.
Yeah, I couldn't remember which what it was for a second. Equesticles.
So there are real life bronies?
Yeah, there are grown men that really love My Little Pony. Yes.
Oh my.
Yeah,
that makes it this episode even funnier.
Yeah, like they were making fun of those guys. Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't make up those men. Those men exist.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing. that's hilarious, but a little disturbing.
It's too good. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. I thought it was just a funny thing the show did. Now that it's real, I'm more disturbed.
Uncomfortable. Wait. Take it back.
Oh. But what I loved the most about the episode was Bob being such a great dad, going undercover, cramming all this pony knowledge overnight so he can go undercover and get her toy pony back.
Oh, this equestronaut knowledge.
The best.
Oh, God.
And then I love that the twist was he read Tina's fan fiction of it.
Non-canonical.
Oh, man.
That's a good one. I always forget about that one.
Yeah. And then some of my other favorite episodes were, some of them were the parody ones. So the two I remembered was, there's one where they had a parody of Game of Thrones. And then there's another one of the Pride and Prejudice parody.
Oh, the Game of Thrones one, they were all telling their Aunt Gail a story.
Yes.
About.
Oh, that's they're right. both in the same I think episode.
I was just going to say, yeah, I think that's when they do every once in a while. It's like, telling somebody a story. Or I think once when they did an episode like that, it was like the kids' essays.
Yes.
Or something. And they had, those are fun. I like those.
Yeah, because they were segments. The Pride and Prejudice story was with Gail. Yeah. They were telling it to Gail, but it was from Tina. And then the Game of Thrones one was from Louise.
Right.
And then Bob was like, have you been watching Game of Thrones? And she's like, what?
She's like, what's Game of Thrones?
Oh, shit.
That's a good one. There's another, I forget what episode it was in, but after another Louise story like that, her dad goes, wait, like in Mad Max Fury Road? You haven't seen that, right? And Louise says something like, yeah, no, I totally don't have your login where I can watch that movie over and over again.
No, yeah, that's good. I like the one, I also like the one where they start to try and serve brunch, but then, you know, they didn't put a minimum, like a food minimum. And so everyone's just there for like their free booze.
That one was cool too. That was the one they did like the fan art with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where they animated it. I thought that was awesome. It was a little hard to follow.
Sometimes.
Just because they switched the styles
a
lot. But it was so cool though. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if other shows do that.
An entire episode is animated in a bunch of different ways. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that in another show either.
That one's good. I also like the one where what's her name? So Linda's hairdresser works at the it's like an American Girl doll store, but I forget what they call the parody. But they go there for like to that restaurant for lunch or something. And then Louise ends up like
is it
one
Marshmallow?
Of the dolls and like wanting to no it's not Marshmallow no. It's the blonde lady I can't remember her name right now.
Forget
it's not
name.
Ginger
Joanne?
Anyway if I think about it hard enough I'll remember. Maybe I'll just try and look it up. But yeah, then they I like the ones where Louise like kind of similar to the Boys for Now one where it's just like she likes the thing that she thinks she's not supposed to or the thing that she's trying really hard not to like, but she actually does like it.
Yeah.
Cynthia. Right?
Cynthia?
Yeah. Like, isn't she the also the same woman that ends up like going out with the food inspector guy?
God, with Hugo. Yeah. That's Hugo. What I'm thinking of. I don't think her name's Cynthia though, is it? Maybe it is.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to see if I can find an episode she's in so I can.
Hugo is a really good supporting character.
Yes.
He's the perfect antagonist.
He is.
Because.
He absolutely is.
I don't know. He's so short and just angry all the time. He's always got it out for Bob.
And he's always yelling at his friend, Ron. or his partner Ron. Oh, I just stumbled on the one, it's called Eat Spray Linda, where Linda goes to the grocery store and then like locks her keys in the car, and then she ends up having to like walk all the way back home. It's her birthday.
Oh yeah.
That one's so funny.
And then Bob ends up at a hotel, like, and it turns out that she goes there to use the restroom, and like she talks about the whole family.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out where she went, and all the kids have like different things that they do with mom, which I thought was really cute. And then at the end, Bob's like, "Oh yeah, sorry, your birthday kind of sucks, but I was, you know, I'm still like learning every stuff about you, and I love you a lot." It's really cute. I like that one.
I have a small side tangent that I am I would like to share. When I used to live in Austin, and I would go downtown a lot for festivals and whatnot, they were generally in like the same-ish area of downtown, near 6th Street. If anyone's not familiar with Austin, 6th Street is known for all their bars and whatnot. I'm not a big drinker, but there is one hotel on 6th Street. It's really famous. It was built in like the 18-somethings. It's called the Driscoll Hotel. And I always go to that hotel. If I'm on 6th Street and I really have to go to the bathroom, I always go to the one at the Driscoll because it's fancy and clean. And if you go to the one on the second floor, there's not as many people who use it.
There you go.
Great. That's now everyone's going to go to the second floor Driscoll Hotel bathroom.
When they got to go.
I don't think we have that many listeners in Austin, but.
Fair enough.
That's super funny. You do the exact same thing.
Well, it's just all the bathrooms at the bars are disgusting.
Oh, yeah. If you can hold it, do not. Especially on 6th Street. I get that. Ugh.
Just a little tip for anyone who wants to visit.
Oh, that reminds me. Remember the one? This is one I really like. The one where Gene finds a toilet in the woods and starts feeding it water.
And it's really his funny. Friend.
Yes,
it's his friend.
And it was a stolen toilet. Oh, those. Outside toilet.
That's one of the you have to wonder, like, how did they come up with that? Like, I wonder what was on their like writing, what was going on in their writing room that they came up with that, because it's so original and so weird and like shouldn't work, but then it does. I think they have a lot of episodes like that.
They're super really funny creative premises. Yeah. You're right. That is a very unique episode, because I don't ever recall seeing a storyline like that in television. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those super nice toilets from Japan that can wash your butt.
Yeah. It like talks to you and you have like a profile with it.
Do we want to?
I really like.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to talk about all the characters we encounter at school too. The school storylines are also really fun.
Oh, Mr. Frond, you idiot.
I love him because I think everyone has a teacher like that where you're just like, I can't stand you. You're everything I hate. And you always pop up at the worst time. You don't understand anything. Go away.
Oh, there's an episode. I just remembered. There's an episode that I really enjoyed with Tina and her group of frenemies. Damn it, who is that girl's name again?
Tammy,
yes. Her frenemy Tammy. Tammy, Jimmy Jr., Rudy, I think.
And probably Zeke.
Are you talking about like the Breakfast Club parody?
Yes, okay. The Breakfast Club parody episode. And then Mr. Frond had to get them out early. He had them do that fashion contest.
Fashion show, yeah.
Yeah, and they had to make something out of recycled
outfits out of just stuff.
So it was a cross between the Breakfast Club and, you know,
like
one of those reality.
Runway. Yeah,
that was a
Project
good
Runway.
One.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mr. Frond said that was the show that he was watching.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's funny.
And they had to make the dress for Mrs. LeBons.
Oh, I love her. I think she's one of my favorite secondary characters. She cracks me up.
She's so sarcastic and doesn't put up with bullshit.
She doesn't care.
She's like the old lady that you hope to be when you're yes. her age.
Exactly.
I think she was... I'm not 100% sure about this, but and I don't know if either of you ever watched the show Dinosaurs way long ago. I think that same woman is the woman that played like the grandmother in Dinosaurs. Like that
oh, really?
Voice is the same. It could be someone mimicking okay. that style of voice, but yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it's just that like really guttural like I've been smoking my entire life and yeah. I'm retired almost and who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'm trying to think who are some of my other favorite supporting characters?
I like every time Marshmallow comes on because Bob has the same line. He just goes, oh, hey, Marshmallow. And I think it's funny. She doesn't really, she only shows up in a few episodes and she like doesn't really do or say anything, but I like her. I think it's funny. Oh, hi,
okay.
Marshmallow.
I got two.
Okay.
The documentary guy.
Yeah.
He shows up in episode 3 of the first season.
Randy, maybe?
Randy, yeah. The Sacred Cow episode.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he shows up a few other times. I like him. Yeah. He always gets Bob mm-hmm. into some kind of bullshit.
Yes, he's funny.
Oh, God, Randy. Sacred Cow. Oh, that was so good. Moolissa.
That's a good one. Moolissa.
Oh, man. Gosh.
That's a fun episode.
Yeah. Season 1 was classic. Like, it really hooks
you
in.
They're all so good. It really mm-hmm. does. It really, really, really does.
And then I also really enjoy Mr. Fish Odor.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, because I also like Kevin Kline, and he voices yes. Fish Odor.
I really like Andy and Ollie. Like, I
Me
think...
too.
They're so weird, and they're all... It's...
I Andy, hi, Ollie!
they're so codependent on each other. It's just... I don't know. I love it. Every yes. time they're on screen, because they're always going to do, like, exactly what is, like, not needed at that time.
I always think of the lice one, where they're all stuck in the nurse's office with lice, and they pan over to Andy and Ollie for 2 seconds, like, my lice are going over to Andy's head! My lice are going over to Ollie's head! And that's, like, it. That's all we see from them, I think, that up. But, yeah, just just random screaming. They just screech. I love one of my favorite Louise antics where she includes Andy and Ollie as an art crawl where she has them paint pictures to sell.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. And she's just like, oh, this is, you know, stupid bullshit. We can paint that and then sell it. And she's she ends up selling a bunch of paintings and then at the end she pays Bob gets a fine somehow. I can't remember exactly how, but she's just like, how much will it take to make this go away? And just takes out a wad of cash that she has.
Yeah.
That she got from like the boardwalk or whatever, selling her shitty paintings. Oh, and her dad's like, where did you get that? And she's like, it's art crawl. Shut your mouth. It's art crawl.
Shut your mouth. It's art crawl.
Shut your mouth. I said, shut your mouth. It's art crawl.
Oh, and I know we already, I kind of brought it up already, but I'll just say it one more time. Gail is also a great supporting yes. character.
She is. She's always, that's always an interesting episode when Gail shows up. Their dynamic is very funny.
She's such a sweet single cat lady.
Weird lady. Yeah, single cat lady. That's exactly right.
What's her cat's name? I forget.
She's got like 4 of them.
No, there's she one.
The,
that Bob...
The one that we see a lot is Mr. something. Mr. Business.
Mr.
Is that right?
Business.
That's yes. right.
Yeah.
Mr. Business.
The episode where she Mr. Business gets the attention of some cat agent for commercials. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Bob gets wrapped into training it. Mr. Business. Oh, that was good.
That's a good one. And then meanwhile, Tina tries cat food and then is like addicted to it. And then Jean gets addicted to it. And then we find out that Linda's also addicted to it.
Yeah, Linda also eats cat food.
That side story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have yet to try my cat's dry food. But I will say, hamster
loves it.
It's
like, I've tried it. It sucks.
Well, I mean, I haven't tried this specifically, but I have had cat food before in my life. And it leaves a lot to be desired. It's edible and it's food, but it's not something I would choose to eat.
It's no chef cat. The fictional cat food on Bob's Burgers is clearly way better.
Oh, man. The hamster likes it, and I think it's just because it's chickeny.
Okay,
well,
yeah.
I think it's because it's like it's a big grain, like, because it's like it's obviously some sort of like corn starchy thing that's got chicken and other things like mixed into it and then turned into like kibble pellets. And so the hamster's like, oh, this is perfect. Yes, give me this.
Whenever, I love this. That's funny.
Whenever we let her out to free roam, I have to remember to lift the cat's food bowl up on the counter so that
she's
the hamster
hang out in the
doesn't
food bowl.
No, she'll get in there. She'll get in there real good. Yeah. And she'll just pouch all of the cat food.
That's
and I'm just
hilarious.
Like, no, you can't do that.
And the cat's like, wait a second. That's mine.
I'm not sure she's noticed.
Yeah.
It's because we have the cat in the bedroom whenever we let the hamster out.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah.
That would not be fun time.
Oh, no.
That's so funny. Wait a second. Didn't I have food in here?
Oh, man. Do you have any favorite supporting characters? Did you already say, Isaac?
Yeah, Andy and Ollie.
That's right, Andy and Ollie.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
I'm not really fans of Tammy or Jimmy Jr. or Zeke, but the guy Aziz Ansari plays.
Oh, yeah.
Daryl.
Daryl, yeah.
Yes.
Daryl's good.
He's funny. I forgot about Daryl.
Oh, Burger Boss. That's where we first met Daryl.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, man.
He's funny.
And then Bob plays it so much, like, his hand hurts.
Yeah, well, yeah, he gets carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah.
And then, why is that a problem?
Because he can't make burgers.
He can't even flip burgers anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then he gets addicted to the pain pills, and they start making him hallucinate.
Oh, that's good.
Then he tries to beat up some 12-year-old boys or whatever.
And I think Linda thinks that... Is that the same one where Linda... Like, he told the Linda that they were taking sailing lessons or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was taking them to the yacht club, yeah.
Yeah. And so she comes to pick him up. Somebody calls her.
Yeah, because her children have gone there.
She comes all dressed up. Yeah, she comes all dressed up, ready to, like, schmooze with all the yacht people. And then finds out, like, why... what they were actually doing. Oh, man. And that's the one where the kids they go to the arcade and they crash birthday parties the whole episode.
Oh, that's right, that's right. because Bob can't enter without children, so he has to bring his children. Yeah. I liked the heist episode with the kids.
Where they try to win
the Dune buggy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. I watched that one recently.
Yeah.
That one's
yeah.
Funny. I like that one too.
What was it? 1,000 tickets? 10,000 tickets?
10,000
yeah,
tickets.
That's ridiculous. Jesus.
Oh, I like the one where this was one that made me laugh so hard. Where Linda works at the grocery store for the episode.
Yeah.
The thing that made me laugh so hard was when towards the beginning of the episode Louise ties shrimp to balloons.
yeah.
And then at the end, they start floating down.
They start falling down.
And I don't know why it was so funny to me, but it was
because it's got a smell awful, right?
Like, what? Well, yeah, and it's also just like, who thinks of that? A. And then I loved that they brought it back at the end. Because then Louisa, she screams like, yes, or something. She just like screeches at the end. She's so excited. She just wants like chaos to reign. That made me laugh so hard.
That's the same episode where Tina meets a guy in the milk.
Yes, in the milk fridge.
In the
yes.
milk fridge.
That one's fun.
Oh man.
Yeah, see, I liked that one cuz like it was sort of a practical approach to, you know, they don't have money, they need more money, and Linda's like, "Well, I can go like get guaranteed money. I don't have to wait around for customers. They'll just pay me an hourly wage over at this store. I can do that."
Right.
But I love how like in her like first shift as manager, like the entire thing just falls apart.
And then it's just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And then by the end, people are like stealing food and like running around crazy. It all just like completely collapses. Yeah, it starts out perfectly rational and then just
yeah.
By the end you're like, okay.
I do enjoy when Linda tries to do her own thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because there was an episode currently in season 11 where Linda joins this like community support group for women in business.
Oh, yeah. That one's funny.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like... It's because she wants to do her own thing, and they have the weekly meetings on Saturday for whatever reason. I personally would never join a group that makes me do meetings on Saturday nights.
Oh, I remember. I remember thinking that this like that meeting that she was going to. I remember expecting it to be like a multi-level marketing thing that she was like maybe going to get trapped in. But then it turned out to be just a legitimate like women's business meeting, and I was a little disappointed there wasn't a joke there.
Yeah.
Well, because the focus was about her and Jean.
Right. Her. Yeah. Her being able to split up from Jean because Jean's such a mama's boy.
Oh, he's a sweet mama's boy.
I love how they explore that, those relationships, right? Or like with Linda and Jean, and then like Tina and Louise, and then Jean and Louise, and then Jean and his dad, and like how they kind of, they have all those, again, really like, caricaturized versions of the thing, but also still really realistic. Like, oh yeah, this is totally a dynamic that you would have with, you know, your brother. Or
right, like the episode where Bob and Louise were watching spaghetti westerns.
Yes.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Yes, I love that. You have your thing that you do, and especially if you have a lot of siblings, I can see how you would want there would be something that you do just with your dad. That's
yeah.
like your thing that you do. Yeah.
That reminded me of when my dad would, when I was little, and he would bring home movies to watch. Because the first time I watched Jurassic Park, I was young. I was not ready for it, but I still liked it. And it was with my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And to this day, I can still rewatch Jurassic Park and still enjoy it fully.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and dynamics between Jean and Louise, because Louise thinks of Jean as a large brother.
Yeah.
Not a big brother, yeah. A large brother.
Like my larger brother.
I love that.
Because, like, for a lot of the episodes, right, like, she understands the situation better than Jean does. So, like, she's taking care of him.
Yes.
But there was an episode where like she was like, I need a big brother or something.
Yeah, that one's really cute.
Yeah.
It's that kid who, oh, it was the same character who stole her ears that one episode. That episode's great. I forget his name, but yeah, she makes him mad again, and then I think Jean stands up for her and like gets Like he gets like farted on or something silly, but
is it that skater boy Logan?
Yeah.
Logan, that's exactly it. That's his name. Yes, that's who it is. I couldn't remember his name.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Logan is a good bully character.
He is.
But like he's your classic bully.
Mm-hmm.
That you would be able to relate to in Louisa's situation.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to talk about. There's so much to talk about.
There is.
Oh, poor Teddy. When is he going to find someone?
I don't know.
Never.
I feel bad for Teddy most of the time. Jeez.
That's the stick, though, is
he'll always be single for the entirety of the show.
Or maybe he'll find a weird lady and still be strange Teddy.
I liked when he had to have Bob come over to cook Thanksgiving dinner for him.
That's a good one.
Teddy's a hoarder.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Why don't we just use this room in here? It's got a dining table. No!
Why do you have half a waffle iron? What if I want to make half a waffle?
Okay. Oh man. Yeah. Teddy's good. It's just you feel bad for him sometimes.
I mean, a lot of the time. Except for when, like, there are other times where, like, he's clearly the one that's, like, being able to make a lot of money because he's got a skill that's in demand. And so he doesn't ever seem to be hurting for cash. Well, not ever, that's
true. Oh, yeah, because he owns that house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just hurts in other ways.
Yeah.
Oh, Teddy.
Like that time when he got that boat. And then drove Belchers out to his ex-wife's boyfriend's bar.
Yeah. And then they go around several times because she didn't see him the first time. Yeah. Oh, man. Poor Teddy.
Wait, isn't that don't they also end up on some man's island or something?
Yes.
And they have to split the party and walk up the hill in a different
that strange man on that island. He had sheep.
No,
or like buffalo
or something.
Maybe, some scary animal that was like charging them and like chasing after them.
They were very big vegetarian animals.
Yeah, why did I say sheep? I'm dumb. Buffalo,
something like that.
Oh. Yeah.
I recently watched the one where they go on like a Stand By Me type trek through the forest out to the farm to see the two-butted goat. Do you remember that?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh my gosh, it's
funny.
Was
that an earlier season one?
Maybe season 4? I could look it up. But
I remember watching it, but I don't think I've watched it in a long time.
Yeah, it's called Stand By Gene.
Okay.
And so they take a lot from Stand By Me, but the premise of it is like, oh, we always do what Louise and Tina want to do. I want to do something I want to do. And then they get their friends together, I think like Jimmy Jr. and Tammy and Zeke and Daryl and Rudy or something. And then they go on a trek up to the fence. It's funny. It's a two-butted goat. Like, that's funny. What? Oh man.
So I just double checked because they're currently on a season 11. Mm-hmm. The show, according to bobsburgers.fandom.com, on September 23rd, 2020, Bob's Burgers was renewed for a 12th and 13th season by Fox.
Yay.
So it will definitely have two more seasons. Is the show going on for too long? There's pros and cons, because The Simpsons has been on for 30 fucking years.
Yes.
But I don't know. What do you think? Because the show is very episodic.
Mm-hmm.
So I could enjoy more adventures, but sometimes you wonder, has it lost its charm, or is it getting too formulaic? You know, stuff like that.
So just to jump back, Stand By Jean, season 6, episode 12.
Oh, six. Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now go ahead with the with your answer to how do you feel about it getting more seasons and going forward.
I don't think it's overstaying its welcome. I like having a lot of episodes of, especially an animated show, because they're so episodic, and it's not like a, well, I'll use Grey's Anatomy again, where they've also been on forever, and it's like, how many different things can you actually do in a show like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for a show like Bob's Burgers, it's really character driven, but there's also not, they don't necessarily have like character arcs because it's not that type of show. So I think, yeah, I don't know, you can put those people in a lot of different situations. Two seasons, that's crazy. I do think that anything after 13 seasons might start to get stale. I don't know.
So
I also just love it. So
Chilin,
like,
was watching some Simpsons last month, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that, you know, I remember thinking that sort of newer Simpsons episodes weren't very good, but then I saw the like the stuff from the more recent seasons, and I was like, no, this is good.
Okay.
So I think it's possible that you can hit a lull, like, for example, I think the stuff that I thought where The Simpsons wasn't very good was probably, like, the, like, seasons 9 through 15 or something. I don't know. Maybe not even that many seasons. Maybe 9, 10, 11 or something. I don't know. But around that time.
Like, the middle seasons?
Yeah, I turned into an adult and stopped watching. And I guess, well, there was just some episodes, like, where they went to Italy, and it was just like Lisa like shouting out the names of cheeses in a car. Like, it wasn't, mm-hmm. it was the most ridiculous thing, and it was awful. But then stuff I've seen from like season 23 and 24, I was like, oh, this is good. So I think that for Bob's Burgers, one, I don't think they've hit a lull. But I think that you're right. You can just keep putting them in newer and newer situations, especially since your show is sort of a commentary on life, right? Mm-hmm. And the characters are sort of ageless. It's fine if, you know, technology marches on and you just sort of subtly change stuff that's going on in your world. Now, this show has only been on for 10 years, so things haven't really changed too much.
The Belchers, they still have a flip phone.
Yeah, they're still going flip phone, right? At a certain point, that might just become like overly ridiculous, but maybe they'll keep it in anyway and be like, yeah, no, that's how
they're poor. Far, it's funny.
Yeah, that's how poor this family is. They have to use a $30 flip phone. So I don't know. I don't feel like there's any reason to think that the show is overstaying its welcome, or they won't be able to come up with new material. I mean, obviously sometimes an episode's a hit or a miss, but I think just overall, they'll be able to do this for as long as they sort of want to, really.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that probably depends on the writers that you have too.
Yeah.
And like, and how they work together too, not even just like individual, how good are the writers you have, but like, how do they work together?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause they're going to, any different group of people, you add a new person or take somebody away, and that's going to be a whole different episode they would come up with, you know?
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Chinlin?
I'm totally down for more episodes of Bob's Burgers. I agree with you, Josie, how it's not really, it's fun and lighthearted. It's more character driven and mm-hmm. episodic. So you're not going to, every episode is just a new adventure that the kids and the parents have, or whatever they're dragged into by, right. say, Teddy.
Yeah.
So, I'm totally down for more seasons.
Yes. Yeah, you don't run into that problem that you do with real actors or real people shows, as I like to right. call them, mm-hmm. that, yeah, where you're like accidentally start reusing the same storyline over and over again, or like they, mm-hmm. their character has to learn the same lesson a bunch of times, that gets really tiring for
right.
me.
Right. And then you also just have this problem with actors being humans that age.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Things that involve children, like the children just, they grow up. There's nothing mm-hmm. you can do about that. And even adults age. And in fact, it's for some things, I actually kind of prefer an animated format because of that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they're talking about bringing the Wheel of Time series to television. And I'm like, all right, so I see that you guys have gone with a live action cast here, but the thing is, mm-hmm. it's 15 books long. But the actual action of the whole series takes place across like 3.5 years. So you're not going to have you're not going to have your sort of 15-year-old age 3.5 years over the next 15 years. So you should probably reconsider.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh, you'd have okay.
to, I don't know how you would.
The Amazon Prime Video ordered the Wheel of Time series to be adapted to fantasy television. Okay. Interesting. Oh, starring Rosamund Pike?
Chandler's interested now.
I'm interested ooh, now. I like her.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, and that's the other, sort of the other problem with bringing this particular series to live action is there's this group of women called the Aes Sedai, and they're all supposed to be ageless.
Mm.
So you have to essentially, like, cast women that look ageless and can stay that way for however long the show runs. Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing is that they would have to. Because, like, no, everybody hates recasting. That's the worst.
Yeah.
So even if 3.5 years isn't long enough to warrant a, you know, oh, so-and-so is, they were 20 and now they're 50, you can recast that character and that's right. Okay, fine. But, yeah, three and a half years is not long enough to be that noticeable of a thing. Yeah, hopefully they don't mess it up.
No, I'm kind of expecting they will, but which is why I like shows like Bob's Burgers, where it's fine, like it's episodic and they can just keep getting in sort of different situations, and it's okay that the characters don't age.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed that the studio figures out when they want to release the movie.
Yes, I can't wait.
I haven't done that much research on the movie, so I have no idea what exactly the plot of the movie is going to be.
I don't think I want to know.
Right?
I don't want to know. Let's either.
Go
it's
enjoy.
Just any news I've read, they haven't. They I don't think they've released that information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be one that I'd want to see in theaters too.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, that is a wrap for the Bob's Burgers episode for the Bingeables podcast. Thank you, Joe, for coming back. Would you like to share your social media handles again?
Yes, I will. Thank you for having me. This was so fun. Gonna go watch Bob's Burgers now. you can find Putting On Airs on Twitter and Facebook at Putting On Airs and Instagram at Putting On Airs Podcast. And you can listen anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for coming on. I had so much fun doing this. Y'all, if for listeners who have listened to this podcast for a while, y'all know I love Bob's Burgers. So this has been a long time coming.
Absolutely.
All right. Until next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/BINGEABLESPOD.
you can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.